Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The third, the final, the best, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is ESPN Upstate. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. Hello, world. It's great to be back with you once again. I am Rob Brown. Directly across from me, the great one, Lonzo, the Alpha and the Omega of ESPN Upstate. I dropped both things at the same time there. That was unusual.
You know, if you were a drinker and it is midday and you're drinking midday, there's 12-step programs you could probably see. But if you were that kind of person and you took a drink every time Rob dropped something for the entire 3 hours... You were passed out in hour number one, probably halfway through hour number one.
First off, there is nothing wrong with a little bit of day drinking. All right.
I know you looked at me very offended for some reason. You know?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a little day drinking when the sun's still up. In fact, I argue that natter days are best when the sun is still up. It's a strawberry lemonade flavored beer. And for all of you people going, turn in your main card, Rob. I will not. It's delicious.
I was waiting for you to sing, "All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun." I thought you were heading that way.
I got a feeling I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Day drinking's fine. And if it snows, even better day drinking, because now I have an excuse not to go anywhere. Right? Now I have an excuse not to go anywhere. Texas says, they ain't called Natter Nights for a reason. Bravo. Bravo.
I'm learning some words that I've never heard of before.
Yeah, you got Natter Days, which is a strawberry lemonade flavored beer, and it is delicious. And Texas says they ain't called Natter Nights for a reason. Beautiful, beautiful. Well done. All right. So a couple of sports stories that we have not gotten to. The NFL has put out a report on its regular season coverage. Yesterday and last Friday, I told you guys that I fully expect that this national championship game is going to be one of the three most watched national championship games of all time. I think it's definitely in the top four, all right? And most of you guys went, absolutely no chance, Rob. Absolutely no chance. Nobody outside of the southeastern region of these great United States cares about this game. And that's fine. I get the premise.
Yeah, I was one of those guys, but it was a pretty good game. It really was.
First off, they gave us a great game. You can say what you want, but the longer that game went on, the more people tuned into it.
I highly expected halfway through the game to head to the game room, turn on an extra TV, and have it going on in the background. That did not happen.
Correct. Because it is a good game. So I get the little extra benefit of it having been a great game. But I guarantee this is going to be one of the top three or four most watched college football games of all time, championship games anyway, because of this. And I led with this as my line of thinking when I talked about this stuff. And now, literally 2 days later, I get proven accurate. When we started seeing Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and then we started seeing the BLM protest and players taking a knee at the anthem and all that, I heard, like a lot of people, saying, I'm never watching the NFL again. They've lost me. As a viewer, I am out. I am done with the league. I'm never watching the league again. I'm out. Well, those people, or at least the majority of them, are what we call liars. And here's how we can prove that. According to Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated, CBS Sports has announced that its NFL regular season coverage averaged 18.034 million viewers. the network's most watched regular season in the past 6 years. Fox Sports said that its NFL regular season coverage averaged 18.572 million viewers, topping regular season viewership in 2017, 2018, and 2020. There are a lot of people that are going to peacock out in public and say, I'm not watching that because I don't like X. I don't like players taking a knee. I don't like Colin Kaepernick. I don't like that the SEC has once again dominated college football and is hosting a rematch in the national championship game. So therefore, I'm not going to watch these games. And those people are putting on a show and then going home and watching those particular games. NFL viewership on CBS, the most watched regular season since 2016. Fox Sports, its most regular or its most overall watched regular season, with the exception of 2019, since 2016. The year before COVID was the only year that Fox had more average viewership, and CBS has had its highest average viewership since 2016. So all those people that said, I'm not watching the NFL anymore. There's too much politics, there's too much protest, and there's too much this, there's too much that. All those people, they still watched.
I don't know about all of them.
Okay, you're right. The vast majority of them watched.
Just trying to help you before you get text saying
I appreciate
you can't
it.
Say that.
You're correct. Yeah. I, who made a big deal about painting with a broad brush and making generalizations when angry at Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard, it is fair that you call me to the carpet on my hypocrisy and I accept your claim.
That was a big old jiggle brush.
I got wiggle, baby. I got wiggle. All those people who said that they are not watching the NFL, the vast majority of them still tuned in. And I got news for you about that game last night. A lot of people out in Pac-12 country. I'm not watching that game. I'm not watching the SEC get another run. A lot of people in Big 10 and Big 12 country said, nope, we got locked out. I'm not watching the SEC. Do it again. A lot of people up in the New England area said, nope, I ain't watching it. Y'all, they watched that game. They always watch the game because sports matter to us. Sports matter enough that we are willing to put stuff we hate on the back burner to keep watching said sports. I'll give you another example, and this is one that's going to hit very close to home because I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am having significant moral and ethical dilemmas within my own stupid head right now. The World Cup is in Qatar. Or Qatar, or whatever you want to pronounce it as. I have been told by folks in the military it's Qatar, but I've also had a lot of people tell me it's Qatar. Call it whatever you want to call it. That's where the next World Cup is. And it is known as a fact now that there are major ethical dilemmas taking place in Qatar or Qatar in order to have the World Cup ready to go. There is what is effectively forced labor taking place to get people there. They're taking their visas away so they can't leave. They're paying them peanuts to build the stadiums the World Cup is going to take place in. And if you were concerned about corruption and bribery, yeah, it's definitely there, which is why the World Cup's going to get moved from the summer, where it's always played, to the winter. Because in the summer, Qatar is inhospitable with temperatures in the 112 to 118 range, meaning you can't play 90 minutes of football there. So they moved the World Cup from summer to winter so they can play, and they're using forced labor to build these stadiums. However, the World Cup is the world's favorite sporting event. It is the most watched sporting event in the world, more than the Olympics, more than the Super Bowl, more than anything else. And there are a lot of people, myself included, who are having a moral and ethical dilemma of, I love the World Cup. I can't wait to watch the World Cup. But am I a bad person if I want to watch the Qatar World Cup? Knowing what is going in to making this happen. It's a moral and ethical dilemma. And I will tell you that when the World Cup turns on, you are going to have major sponsors throwing around millions of dollars. And you are going to have an insane number of viewers, just like always. Sports matters so much to us that we are willing to put things on the back burner that in any other situation, we would not. We would not. I have stopped going to businesses because of business decisions that they have made at the top corporate level. And then those businesses sponsor a bowl game, and I tune in and watch the bowl game, right? I give them eyes on it. I make them money. Most of the people who said, I am not watching this championship game Monday night because I'm tired of the SEC being allowed to run things. I'm tired of rematches. I'm tired of the dominance. I'm tired of teams getting locked out. I'm tired of it all. I'm not watching. They spent all day at work yesterday telling all their friends, I'm not watching this game tonight. I got no interest. I'm not supporting the way that college football is structured. And then they all went home and they watched the game. They may not have tweeted about it. They may not have Facebooked about it. But they're going to watch. And the NFL is my illustration of that. There were mass numbers of people 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that said, I'm never watching the NFL again. There's too much politics in the NFL. Well, the eyes on, according to CBS and Fox, are as high as they have been in over a half a decade. The numbers after the cap season, when all of this stuff started, dipped very slightly from an all-time high, which is not unexpected. But since then, they have rebounded back to an all-time high.
Well, you could also look at it that they saw the things that were causing people to go away, and they pretty much have eliminated those things because they have.
To some aspect, I would agree. No, I wouldn't say they eliminated. I'd say they compromised on stuff, right?
Compared to the height of the controversy and the things that were turning people away, you don't really see those things anymore.
The height of the controversy was, if we're just calling it what it is, players taking a knee, right? That was the crux. There were some other stuff, but players taking a knee was the crux. And so the NFL went to the players and they said, here's the deal. We're going to let you wear patches on the back of your helmet that say end racism. We're going to let you wear hoodies on the sideline that say equality and opportunity. We're going to let you do whatever you want to do. We're going to let you wear cleats that have designs on them. Of civil rights leaders. We're going to let you do all that. And the unspoken return was, if you'll stop taking a knee. And the players, by and large, have accepted that. And I think we have seen the knee was so glaring because it was so in your face, right? The camera kept cutting to the guys that were taking a knee. It was in your face.
It became a point of politics. It became a point of emphasis. And the powers that be in the NFL decided to show it as much as possible, or the TV companies decided to do that. There might be people kneeling now. They've just decided it's not it's not the it thing to do, and they don't show it anymore.
Sure.
What I'm saying is I think people came back because they missed football, and they looked for the thing that drove them away, and they didn't see it anymore.
And I agree. It was a plan. It was a plan by the NFL. It was a plan by the TV execs, and it was a plan by the players. The players now get to demonstrate in other ways. The NFL is painting end racism and equality in the end zones so that it is on camera. The players are coming out before games rocking, pride rainbow hoodies and equality and opportunity beanies and all that. There is probably more projection of the message the players wanted to send than ever before. The difference is it's not presented as in your face as it used to be, right? Like now, there's all this stuff on the field. Watch the NFL sideline. The players all have black hoodies with white lettering on it that say equality and opportunity. On the back of their helmets, you know where the little rubber piece comes out and wraps around the back of the helmet so the edge of the helmet doesn't dig into the player's skin? On that little piece of white rubber that goes around there, a lot of them it says end hate or end racism or it takes us all or whatever the message is. the message is more prominent than it ever has been before, but it's not as in your face as the camera zooming in on the five players who kneeled for the anthem. But here's the thing. We can say all those guys came back, though, but according to these numbers, they never left, right? Fox Sports had its higher regular season coverage than any season since 2016. CBS had its highest watched regular season in the last 6 years.
You did mention earlier there was a dip. So some people did leave for a while.
Some people, the hardcore people did leave. But numbers wise, if they ain't back, they've been replaced. And that was what I was saying about Georgia, Alabama. Texter says, I got a couple of texts. I think the argument can be made that viewership has increased as protests and the like, as their prominence has as the story has decreased. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Protests have not decreased. They have just changed appearance. They're still there, but it was just the one thing that aggravated about it. It was kneeling during the anthem. There is more messaging than has ever been before in these games, but it's not as in your face, and people are more comfortable with that.
The other thing is they don't make a point to show it as much either. They don't zoom in on the back of helmets very much just to show that message. So some would say, what good does it do?
Yeah, I mean, I get it, right?
Because when something becomes a part of the background, people rarely notice the background.
Well, and I think the other part of it is protests, by and large, are interruptions, right? They're interruptions of the norm. That's what a good protest is, an interruption of the norm. And it's to get attention focused, because if your norm is interrupted, you are going to put your eyeballs on what is being interrupted. The protests that are happening now, they're not even protests. I guess they're more demonstration, because they're not interrupting anything. The beanies and the chalk on the sideline and the words on the back of the helmets and on the cleats, all of that can happen and all of that can be shown on camera, but it doesn't interrupt the game. And I think that's what TV wanted. And that's what's happened. Texas says, I can't stop watching the NFL, but I 100% haven't watched an NBA game since they started with all the Black Lives Matter boat. Ain't nobody got time for you playing the... What a hypocritical stance. The NFL players are still doing it. The NBA players are doing the same thing, right? The messaging is there. They're not interrupting games like they used to. The NBA has put stuff on the floor, on the court. The players
the NBA,
are
though,
it.
They're still talking about it. It's still more out front than the NFL.
How much NBA have you watched this year? Because I watched a lot, and no, it's not. And I don't say that as a slight. I'm saying that as from somebody who watches 5, 6, 7 NBA games a week. It's absolutely not. It's absolutely not. The NBA, to me, is absolutely on course with the NFL. I don't know what... I don't agree with what you're saying, right?
I am curious about viewership for the NBA, if it's went down or if it's went up.
I think the NBA was hurt far more than the NFL by the COVID lockdown. I think a lot of people started to tune out to the NBA. But I think it was because the NBA is more watched for the show than the game. The NFL is the other way around. People watch the NFL for the game. And if there's a show, great. People watch the NBA for the show and don't really care if it's for a game. Sports Business Journal. Now, this is just one small sliver of the pie here, though. But to answer your question, Sports Business Journal says the NBA averaged 4.1 million viewers for the five games on ABC and ESPN on Christmas Day of 2021, the lowest figure since the league expanded to a five-game slate in 2008, and the lowest since ESPN acquired the rights prior to the 2002 season. In 2020, when the league began on Christmas week due to COVID, the games averaged 4.3 million viewers that day, but overall, the average viewership of the NBA is up slightly. Regular season games across TNT and ESPN have seen an increase for the NBA, with average viewership up 6% compared to the same period for the last two seasons. Women are also now accounting for 1/3 of NBA game viewership, which is up 37% across TNT and ESPN.
See, that's a little skewed, though, because, there were less games, so of course viewership is going to be up. I mean, during the COVID period, when games are canceled, games are down. If you count the year where the basketball was, canceled to a certain, I just, I'm just, the numbers are a little off. I think it would be better to compare it to a year before COVID than comparing it to years during COVID.
Well, they compared it to 2 years ago. The 6% up is from the year before COVID, not okay. COVID year. So it is up from pre-COVID numbers. But just 6% is a big number when you're talking about millions of viewers. But it's not what the NFL has done in setting all-time highs. But the NBA is rebuilding slowly. The NBA, I think, does a better job at getting new viewers, right? I think the NBA does a better job. The NFL keeps the established crowd there, which is why I think the what is it, 18.5 mil? I think that's consistent viewership. Whereas the NBA, I think it does a better job to the detriment of the game, by the way. But it does a better job of building up young stars and the next generation of talent to get the next generation of viewers interested, right? With football, they celebrate the guys that have been out there for a very long time. You hear about the rookies. You hear about the Jonathan Taylors. But they established the Big Bens and the Aaron Rodgers and the Devontae Adams and those guys. So the guys who have been watching for a long time stick around. The NBA presents the Ja Morants and the Ice Trays and guys like that. And they get younger viewership, but younger viewers is a dwindling pool because as we go, and we've seen this in studies, younger people have so many more options for entertainment than even my generation did. Forget Lonzo's, right? You go on Twitch right now, there are guys that stream themselves playing video games and have 2 million subscribers. People who just tune in to watch a dude play a video game. Young people have so many more avenues for entertainment than any previous generation did. That sports getting new viewers in is hard, but I think the NBA does the best job of doing that, and that's why their numbers are coming up, but not as fast as other sports are. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute for him right now. Got a couple of responses to the baseball story and more. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. This is ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Join us on the Facebook stream at facebook.com/ESPN Upstate, twitter.com/ESPN Upstate, or go to youtube.com, search The Rob Brown Show. And if you got a YouTube app on your smart TV, you can actually pull it up and watch it like we're on your television. By the way, ESPN Upstate is your home for all the NFL playoff action. Every playoff game up to and including the Super Bowl is broadcast here and only here on ESPN Upstate. If you're in the Upstate looking to listen to a little NFL playoffs, ESPN Upstate is your home for just that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to go back to this national championship game. Alabama played Texas in the national championship game a number of years ago, right? Up towards the front of Nick Saban's appearance as the head man in Tuscaloosa. And they had a young man, did the Longhorns, playing quarterback named Colt McCoy. And Colt McCoy in that game came into that game white hot. Colt McCoy was banged up early in that game, had to leave the game with a, if I remember correctly, a leg injury, I believe it was. I could be wrong. But Colt McCoy had to leave that game. And ever since then, Texas fans have said that that game kind of changed the course, and that injury to Colt McCoy kind of changed the course of college football, right? Because Nick Saban would go on to build a dynasty at Alabama, and Texas has been an absolute mess since Colt McCoy left. But if they win that championship game, which a lot of Longhorns fans believe they would have had Colt McCoy stayed healthy and they didn't have to go to Garrett after the injury, then maybe the fortunes of those two schools are reversed. I think it's a little dramatic, but I get the point. Well, Alabama suffered the same fate last night. Because I'm willing to say, Lonzo, that it was proven all year that when Alabama had the home run ball between John Metchie and Jameson Williams, when they had the home run ball threat available, Alabama could keep defenses rocked back, right? You could not just attack. And in the previous iterations of Alabama football, stack the box, attack the run, right? Now, they've always had some really good receivers, starting with DJ Hall early in Saban's career and running up through Devontae Smith last season. They've always had good receivers and a home run threat. But it used to be with Bama, you stack the box, maybe they hit a home run ball on you. But if you could take out the Mark Ingrams, the Josh Jacobs, etc., then Bama slowed down a little bit. Wasn't easy to do, but the theory was there. When Alabama lost the home run threat, when Jameson Williams had to leave that game last night with a busted knee, Alabama lost that game. Because while Georgia let them hang around for a while, once Georgia was able to put a couple of points up on the board by breaking the seal and opening up the touchdown scoring, Alabama was in the rearview. Even when Alabama scored their touchdown to take the one-point lead, they were still at a point where Georgia's offense was clicking a little bit better. I am comfortable saying, Lonzo, much like I would agree with Texas fans, that if Colt McCoy is healthy at that point, Texas wins that game. I am comfortable saying that if John Metchie if J-Mo and Metchie, if either one of them is healthy last night, Lonzo, Alabama wins that football game. Fair or foul?
I'd have to say fair.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they were trending a certain direction when he got hurt.
Yeah. J-Mo pops off for one more big 70-yard catch. That game's completely different. But that's football, man. It's overcoming injuries. I think Alabama's the better football team. But Georgia only had to be the better football team for one night, and they did it. But when Alabama lost their two big home run balls, when Alabama lost the deep threats and their vertical offense became vertically challenged and they couldn't force Georgia defensive backs to stay back, right? Georgia started walking everybody up. And when Georgia started walking everybody up, when Georgia started bringing their DBs 3-4 yards closer, so that when the handoff happened to Brian Robinson Jr., they could attack the line of scrimmage without being concerned about, can we get burned, right? Slade Bolden was not going to burn you. I gave him a lot of credit. I think he was the unsung hero for Alabama last night because his ability to find the gap in the field where coverage had fallen apart and sit down in it and catch a football kept them in motion in spots where Alabama was otherwise struggling because they couldn't get the run going. But they couldn't get the run going because Georgia was saying, hey, you want to throw for 3 yards to Bolden? That's fine. We're scoring now. We'll let you have it. What we're not going to do, we're not going to drop an extra guy deep because we're afraid of the deep ball because you don't have anybody to scare us with the deep ball. So we're going to push up. And when we see a run, we're going to attack the hell out of it. And they did. And they slowed down Bama's offense, and Bama had no response for it. In the regular season, when teams were attacking the run like Georgia did in the second half last night, Alabama just beat them deep. That won Bryce Young the Heisman Trophy. Last night they couldn't do it because they just didn't have anybody to send deep. The best receiving option they had, was a tight end. The best receiving option they had was Cameron Latu, who had the first touchdown catch that opened up the scoring for Bama. But when the best option you have is a crossing tight end, you're not a threat to a team like Georgia. Injuries impacted that game way more than any of us want to admit. And it's a bummer because I think we'd have got an even better game could Bama go deep. But Lonzo, that's football. That's how the game works.
Absolutely. Injuries is part of football, and it's something we got to deal with, whether it's preseason, postseason, wherever, people are going to get hurt. And it's a violent game. It's going to happen. And when it does, next man up, if next man up isn't as good as the guy in front of him, which he's probably not, there's a reason why that guy's starting, you're going to have a drop-off in whatever position the guy was in. And they just lost too many. It's not an excuse. They got beat by Georgia. And the same thing could have happened to Georgia. They could have had the same kind of injuries, but they didn't.
Of all the sports cliches, and man, I hate a cliche. Of all the sports cliches, next man up might be the one I hate the most. You are very fortunate if the next man up is as good as the first
Rob,
man.
It is what it is. I mean,
I love that one. That's my favorite cliche.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Sometimes. It is what it is.
If it isn't what it is, it's a lie, right? I don't know. Maybe.
It is what it is means, hey, this is out of your control. Now you can only respond to it, right? For Alabama last night, when J-Mo Williams went down, it is what it is. How are you going to work around it? The answer is the biggest hammer in the toolbox disappeared for Alabama.
Well, some would say, you know, the greatest college football coach of all time should have had a quick plan to solve the problem when the player went down, because that's what the greatest college football coach of all time should be able to do, right?
I mean, theoretically, but as I've used this metaphor before, I think Jimmy Johnson's the greatest NASCAR driver of all time, right? 7-time. I think JJ, the 48, is the best NASCAR driver of all time. If I put him in the Daytona 500 and I give him a Honda Accord to race in, he's not winning, because the greatest have to still have equipment to win on. And if I gave 7-time a Toyota Corolla to race in, he's going to get smoked. If you put JJ in a Corolla and me in a stock car, I will beat Jimmy Johnson, because I've got the tools to win. And he does not. Last night, Nick Saban, after he lost Jameson Williams, was driving a Corolla against Kirby Smart's NASCAR stock machine. And it didn't work. Now, you can blame it on Saban by you should have had better wide receiver depth. You should have had plan. You should have. But, I mean, he lost Mechie and J-Mo. That's a tough run for a whole season. He had neither for a game, for the biggest game. He just didn't have the horsepower to run what he needed to do against a really stout Georgia defense. But it is what it is. Texter says, it is what you've made it. Stop triggering me. I mean, sometimes it is what you've made it. Smart Alec text aside, I get what he's saying, and I agree, right? Sometimes it is what it is because of what you did before it became what it is. And that's absolutely correct. I get it. But what was Nick Saban going to do? Have a fourth track star wide receiver on the roster? He's only got so many scholarships to fill up 22 starting positions and have depth at each. Now, maybe Nick Saban decides to go, you know what, I'm going to have seven wide receivers on scholarship next year, just in case. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But the reality is, it was what it was for Bama. And even if it was what it was because of their own, first off, it wasn't their own making. Alabama did not choose to have Mechie and J-Mo both go down to season-ending knee injuries in the worst possible time, right? What the texts are saying is true when it's factors that were in your control and you did it. Alabama didn't choose to have Mechie and J-Mo go down. That was outside of their control. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got one more segment. I got a breaking story out of the Carolina Panthers, ladies and gentlemen. Plus some comments that Matt Rhule made yesterday that, and I may quote the kids on this one, Lonzo, LOL. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so the offseason for Charlotte is, for Carolina in Charlotte is bound to be tumultuous. Panthers have fired offensive line coach Pat Meyer, special teams coach Chase Blackburn, and defensive line coach Frank Oakham, according to Ian Rapoport of NFL.com, handing out pink slips. No, sorry, red slip. What slip do you get when you get fired? It's pink slip, right? Yeah, it's breaking.
It's
breaking.
Well, they are pink slips, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I thought pink slips were, like, I watched Grease a long time ago. I thought you raced for pink slips, right?
No, I don't think that's what they were called.
Did Grease lie to me?
I don't think they were pink slips. I think they were called something else.
Yeah, yeah. According to thedrive.com, what does it mean to race for a pink slip? It means you're putting it all in line. The winner of the race gets the other person's pink slip, which means the other get the maybe it's slang? Maybe it's Urban Dictionary? I don't know. According to Urban Dictionary, and let me read this one time through before I go out on the limb. The ultimate bet in terms of personal confidence in an illegal street race or the like, two racers put their cars on the line by offering their registration slips as winnings. The winner of the resulting race wins the opponent's car for good. This is exhibited in some of the Fast and the Furious movies, end quote.
And then according to the Oxford Dictionary, a pink slip is a notice of dismissal from employment.
All right, so if I get fired.
You get a pink slip.
Yeah, if I get fired and the boss says, hey, you don't work here anymore. And I say, does that mean I'm getting a pink slip? And he says, yes, I'm stealing his car. That's a verbal agreement.
Works for me.
I'm going to Paul Walker his car. I'm going to Vin Diesel his car out of there because he gave me the pink slip.
Do you even know what the boss drives?
I think it's a truck, but I don't know that I can pick it out.
Yeah, it's well.
I think I can guess.
Yeah.
I think after the show, we walk down to the parking lot. I'm going to see if I can guess which car is his. I think I can narrow it down. Plus, there's only like six people in the building, so my options are limited.
There's that, yeah.
So Handful of coaches out at Carolina. Offensive line coach Pat Meyer. That one's expected, right? The offensive line was atrocious. Again, I don't think Pat Meyer was really given a whole lot of tools to work with here. Speaking of guys not being given the resources they needed to succeed.
I was going
to
say, he looks at it and goes, I'm out of here in a year.
Thanks for the JUCO lineup, Matt. Special team coach Chase Blackburn has been let go. And this one I don't get. Defensive line coach Frank Oakham. Not sure why you're letting your defensive line coach go. Defensive line was one of the few things that won you the five games that you won. Don't get that one.
Maybe you're bringing in a package deal from somewhere else and you have to get rid of somebody else to open up a spot.
I don't know.
We're
going to see how this plays out. We'll absolutely see how this plays out.
Sounds more like, yeah, you can stay, Rule, but you're going to have to make some changes. So he's just like, okay, you're gone. Is that enough, boss? Nope. Okay, let me get rid of, okay, defensive line coach. Okay, yep. You're gone.
Yep. I also saw a situation where Matt Rule said, remember there was the fourth down play later in the game against Tampa Bay this weekend where they needed a yard to pick up a first on fourth down. Sam Darnold QB sneaked and he failed at it. And everybody said, Matt Rule, why did you not go with Cam Newton there, right? Like if you're going to QB sneak, isn't Cam Newton the guy? Matt Rule's response was, the call was QB sneak, says a QB power run would have been more Cam Newton speed, and then mentioned that Sam Darnold is 6'4". And that's fine and true. Cam Newton is 6'5.5". So if height is your reason, Matthew, what a dumb call.
I was going to say, I think Cam's taller.
Yeah. You don't have to think. I'm telling you, he is. He's taller by about 1.5 inches. If you're going to justify QB sneaking, the QB sneak because Darnold's 6'4", you are effectively showing me that you don't know your roster at that point, man. You don't know your own roster at that point. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a joke. This is the kind of stuff that gets me frustrated. This is the kind of stuff that bugs me. Now, let me borrow the sound real quick, if you don't mind, Lonzo, because I got a clip that I did not get a chance to upload. But this is Matt Rule. When he was asked why they decided to sign Sam Darnold's fifth-year option as quickly as they did before evaluating him on the field, this is actual audio, not being sarcastic. This is actual audio from Matt Rule answering that question.
Bringing him here to be the starter, you know, knowing that if he had a great year, that he would be a high price guy, and if he's a starter at that number, that's low end starter money. So that was a decision made. It was a collective decision, and you know.
Sorry about the end clip there. I don't bag on guys for not being great orators when they got a mic jammed in their face, especially when they're asked a tough question, because I get it. There are people out there that clam up and stutter, and I do it sometimes still, too.
I was gonna say, not everybody's an award-winning
right.
Show host like Rob Brown,
right.
Who's been nervous a day in his life.
Correct. We don't have crystal trophies at our house with our names etched on them, all right? I get it. I don't bag on a guy. But I know that Matt Rule can speak well in front of a mic because I've seen him do it. This is what happens when you call a guy out to their face. This is what happens when a guy doesn't have an answer for a dumb decision. Hey, man, why did you blow half our checking account at the strip club last night? Well, you don't have an answer.
Have you heard that conversation before? Because it sounds like you were, you know, I mean, not you, but you heard somebody else have to answer for blowing the money there.
Not specifically, but yes, I do. In fact, Lonzo, if you will give me...
I was going to say, I was just trying to help you while you were sneezing.
Yeah, thanks very much. If you would give me audio one more time, I'm going to go to the Rob Brown GOAT collection of sound bites to play you the last time that I heard a guy clam up that bad.
I don't... I don't know. I don't know if I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Yeah, that's Gerrit Cole giving a Matt Rhule answer on if he has doctored the baseball months ago. You gave it to him because you're not good at your job, and personnel evaluation is a struggle. Back after this to wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
All right, time restraints. Freddie Mercury is trendy.
Oh, birthday or death day?
Barstool Sports has put out a thing, top 10 male singers of all time. Here are the top five: Elvis, Michael Jackson, Jesse McCartney, Frank Sinatra, and Otis Redding. Freddie Mercury did not make the top 10.
Did not make the top 10?
No.
Ooh, I got a problem with top 10. Make an argument. Jesse McCartney is not going ahead of Freddie Mercury. I'd argue Michael Jackson doesn't belong in the top five. Michael Jackson, top two entertainers of all time, but singers? Nah. Nah, Freddie Mercury's ahead of Michael Jackson in terms of singing. Not performing, although I would say maybe not performing either. Just depends on taste. But Michael Jackson doesn't go ahead of Freddie Mercury in terms of singing. Right?
I don't know about that.
You'd have MJ ahead of Freddie Mercury singing? Just singing?
Yeah, I would. But I would have Freddie Mercury in the top 10 for sure.
Lonzo, this is our first fight.
I would not have Jesse McCartney in there anywhere.
At all.
Yeah, it's Barstool is probably a bunch of younger guys.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So that's what I'm guessing.
Where's Justin Bieber on the list?
I don't think he was on it, but good. I'm shocked that he
I
wasn't.
I would start Stone Cold stunning people if he was. That's it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. We out. We'll be back tomorrow to win another award on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Later, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.